ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ేషు
భగవత
శ్లోకే భక్తి నాయకి
Translation. The first night that God had delivered the king of the elephants, who was attacked by an alligator, and who meditated upon the lotus feet of the Lord. At that time, the female elephants who accompanied him were crying, and the Lord saved them from the impending danger. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, the example of the elephant in danger, who was saved by the Supreme Lord, is especially cited here, because even if one is an animal, he can approach the personality of God in devotional service. Whereas even a demigod cannot approach the Supreme Person unless he is a devotee. Yoga jendram jaskrastam jayantam charanam bhujam yoshantinam karimunam krutshato mochayadrutam. The personality of God had delivered the king of the elephants. He was attacked by an alligator and who meditated upon the lotus feet of the Lord. At that time the female elephants who accompanied him were crying and the Lord saved them from the impending danger. భూతలే స్వయం రూపాగతమాయాం స్వంతికం శ్రీకృష్ణా
ప్రభు నిత్యానంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే.
సో హియర్ మైత్రేయ ఇస్ డిస్కసింగ్ విత్ విదుర ద ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీమ్ పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్. So previously it was explaining, Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, I have explained to you the personality of God is coming down as the first born incarnation and killing in a great fight a demon of unprecedented powers, as if he were just a plaything. This has been narrated by me as I heard it from my predecessor, spiritual master." Sri Suta Goswami continued, "My dear Brahmana, Shatu, Vidura, the great devotee of the Lord, achieved transcendental bliss by hearing the narration of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God from the authoritative sources of the sage Kusarava, Maitreya, and he was very pleased. What to speak of hearing the pastimes of the Lord whose chest is marked with Sri Vatsa? People may take a transcendental pleasure even in hearing of the works and deeds of the devotees whose fame is immortal. The personality of God had delivered the king of the elephants, who was attacked by an alligator who meditated upon the lotus feet of the Lord. At that time, the female elephants who accompanied him were crying, and the Lord saved them from the impending danger." So here, Maitreya is going even further, that not only hearing about the pastimes of a devotee, but hearing about the pastimes of an animal devotee. So there's different types of devotees. And here, the example is used of an animal devotee. So, one can imagine how degraded one must be to become animal, especially elephant. Elephant means big, big body. And very degraded life to be an elephant. So elephants are very much attached to sex life. That is their nature. Eating, they eat a lot. Eating, tongue, belly, genitals. But still at the same time, the story of Gajendra. Gajendra was attacked by an alligator. Who knows the story of Gajendra? Gajendra in his previous life was a great devotee called Indrajuma. So by some unfortunate circumstances he became an alligator. But At the same time, he remembered the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had forgotten Krishna because of becoming an elephant and being engaged in elephant activities. He was in the garden with all these beautiful females, enjoying in a very beautiful heavenly situation, very beautiful lake. So the male elephant likes to sport with the female elephants. So he was sporting. But in the water there was the king of the alligators also. So this alligator was annoyed with the commotion that the elephants were making. So he bit the leg of Gajendra very hard. And a great struggle ensued. There was a tremendous struggle between the elephant, because an elephant is very strong on the land, but he's weakened in the water. And an alligator is weak on the land, but strong in the water. So the alligator had tremendous strength. Obviously these bodies are not, there are different levels of alligators and elephants, but these are obviously very powerful personalities, because they fought for 1,000 years. A long time to have a fight. So in that 1,000 years, the elephant became weakened. And the alligator was gaining. Now up until that point, the alligator had made so many arrangements to try to defeat this alligator, this elephant, Gajendra. But finally, when he was nearly finished, he remembered the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he completely surrendered unto Krishna in his heart. So we can understand a number of things. One is that in the material world it is very, very dangerous, because previously he'd been a great devotee in the Juni. So he'd become an elephant. So you may also become an elephant, you're not careful. So that's one lesson. You may also become an elephant by forgetting Krishna. Elephants are very attracted to sex life. So eating and sex life, these are the things which are a great danger in the material world. So if you're very attached to the tongue, then you'll be very attached to filling your belly, and you'll be very attached to chasing women. So that's the nature of the material world. Basically, all the species filling their bellies and having sex. Nothing much else going on. Bit boring, isn't it? But if you're very attached, then Krishna gives you a body. So even though previously Indrajumna was a devotee, he'd somehow or other fallen down to the position of becoming a big elephant. But he was the king of the elephants. Not ordinary elephant. King of the elephants. So, at the same time, Krishna, by his wonderful arrangement, put him into great difficulty. So sometimes Krishna puts his devotees into great difficulties, so as that they will surrender their false ego. Up until that point, he'd actually been thinking that I'm a big elephant. And if I keep struggling with this crocodile, I'm somehow or other going to win. But when he realized that there was no, because the other elephants, they also tried to help him, but they couldn't help him. His wives were just crying piteously. So these beautiful wives that he was so attached to, now they couldn't help him. So when he realized that he was defeated, completely defeated on every side, then he took shelter of the Supreme Personality. So, the material energy. In the material energy, there is always danger at every step. Samasritaye parapalava plavam mahapata punya yisho marari. That the material energy is likened unto a great ocean. It's a very dangerous ocean. There are many great crocodiles in that water. There are many things which can actually defeat us. So the nature of the material world is that the living entity is being defeated at every moment. Constantly harassed, constantly defeated by the great waves of material energy. So Prabhupada says that just like someone, they like to play in the ocean, because the ocean is very big and we're very tiny. So there's natural attraction for something that is very tiny to be attracted to something that's very great. Isn't it? It's a natural attraction. So people like to go to the ocean to enjoy big, big waves, especially the surfing, body surfing, wind surfing, surfboard, probably call them surfers. So they like to go there and enjoy, but sometimes they become overcome by the big waves. And they drown. They drown also. So in the material world, there is always danger of drowning, because there are many inauspiciousness in the material world. So even devotees, there are many examples of devotees who have also become victimized by Maya. You're never safe in the material world. No matter how much you think that you are safe, you are never safe. There are so many examples. Now just imagine how wonderful a devotee Indra Juma must have been, because Krishna personally came to Gajendra. As soon as Gajendra called out in a pitiful condition, he was totally helpless. So at that time he remembered one mantra that he had in his previous life. He used to recite one mantra. So he chanted that mantra, and by chanting of that mantra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead came, because it awakened his consciousness from his previous life. So this is the unique feature of devotional service. In the other yoga systems, in all endeavors in the material world, one is completely dependent upon his own ability. That's the nature of the false ego. The false ego makes one feel that somehow or other we are independent, or we are separate from Krishna. So therefore, many people think when they're making advancement, whether it's material advancement or spiritual advancement, they think it's by their own endeavor. They think because of my great endeavors, because I did so much wonderful devotional service, or I did so much wonderful yoga, or I did so many austerities, I fasted all day on Ekadashi. Did you see that? Did you see how I did that? Or I chanted extra rounds, two extra rounds. There's not many devotees who could do that. Or the great yogis who sit in the Himalayas are very proud of the fact that they can perform great austerity in the middle of summer, in the scorching heat. They can put fire around them and sit in meditation. Or in the freezing winter, they can stay in the ice-cold Ganges. If you go to the Ganges in the winter, it's freezing, like ice. But they can sit meditating in those Ganges. Some of them for hundreds of years, even thousands of years. There are so many different yogis within this creation. So the difference is that the whole criteria of spiritual life is only required on one thing, that one is 100% completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of God. Because that is actually the only condition required. The living entity himself is actually very, very tiny, microscopic, infinitesimal, very, very insignificant, very, very tiny. So therefore, the only thing required is complete dependency, that one should become completely dependent on Krishna. And this example has been used there by Maitreya, that the glories of Krishna are very wonderful, but even the glories of the devotees. So what is the nature of those devotees? Here, Prahlad is used. Prahlad was put into boiling oil, the vat of boiling oil. And he was trampled by elephant. He was thrown from a very high cliff or mountain. Tortured, put in a pit full of snakes. Not a very cozy life. It's not something that you would necessarily look forward to being put into a vat of boiling oil, isn't it? Or put into a pit full of dangerous snakes. Haridas Thakur was dragged through villages and whipped. Dhruva Maharaj performed tremendous austerities in the jungle. Maharaj Ambarish was cursed by Devasa Muni. We see that in all the lives of the devotees, there is always some adversity. Just like Gajendra, great adversity. So it seems that their life is very inauspicious. So one could say, why do devotees have a very inauspicious life? When it should be very auspicious. But the difference is that the devotees understand why Krishna has created the material world. So the devotees understand why Krishna has created the material world. That the material world is there to inflict all types of inconveniences on the living entity. And a devotee looks forward to those inconveniences. He relishes them. Because there's nothing worse to be convenient in the material world. To find conveniences. We're not here to make the material world some sort of nice place to exist. We're not here to create a convenient situation. We are not here to stay. This is not our real place. This place is hellish because a devotee cannot tolerate to be separated from Krishna. So therefore, in separation from Krishna, we are put into so many inconveniences. Just like Gajendra. Although he was a great devotee, but he was put into great inconvenience. On one side, he was very convenient. He was living in a very nice area with nice women, nice lake, enjoying. But the inconvenience is always there, ready to snap you, ready to bite you. So therefore, he was bitten by big mouth, a crocodile. So, as soon as you get convenient as a devotee, there will always be a big crocodile ready to bite you. So be careful. Don't get convenient. Don't get cozy in the material world. Because it is just like a razor's edge. Spiritual life is like a razor. Is it a declaring war on the material energy? So as soon as you try to befriend or somehow get comfortable with Maya, then Krishna will smash you. Through his agencies. He has many agencies, many potencies. So through the inconvenience of the mind, the body, other living entities, material nature, so many different arrangements. So the situation of the devotee is that at the final analysis he is completely surrendered onto the Supreme Personality of God. That is the thing that Krishna is looking for. This total surrender. And this surrender comes by realization. So Gajendra realized actually that how helpless his condition was. And that is the supreme importance for a devotee. A devotee should be very convinced about how helpless his condition really is. That's why we stress so much on the difficulties of material life, because it is very important to be constantly reminded. Otherwise, there is very great danger that one becomes complacent, that one becomes actually distracted. So, the material energy is there to test the devotee. Maya is there to test, to see what is the real aspiration, what is the real intention. And if there's any tinge of material desire, any tinge, then we will have to prolong our stay in the material world. Any desire. Just like Bharat Maharaj, he was attracted to the fact that he saved this little deer, cute little deer, and he was petting it and cuddling it, and even he started to go to bed with it and make sure it was happy, and he became infatuated. Now normally it's not right for anyone to become so attached. It's abnormal. You can have a pet, but he was, this Bharat was a great renunciate, great yogi. He was, as Prabhupada said, practically on the level of Baba. Not ordinary devotee, practically on the level of Baba. But he became, in his next life, a deer. So, if one can fall down from such a high level, then imagine the dangers that exist for us. So there are many examples. These examples are there to show, at the same time, even as a deer, Bharat Maharaj was able to always remember the Supreme Personality of God. So devotional service is never destroyed. It is always protected by the Supreme Lord. So it is very important to catch as much advancement as one can in spiritual life while he has the opportunity, because that opportunity may be taken away. There are many, many examples of devotees who are very sincere, many, many years of very determined devotional service, suddenly gone. Whereabouts unknown. Many, many examples. And actually the rarity is to be still around. Prabhupada said, don't be surprised who leaves, be surprised who stays. So Krishna consciousness is not an easy process. It's not a luxury cruise on the Mediterranean. It's not a holiday. It is actually a very serious business where one has to realize that actually at any moment I can be engulfed, I can be swallowed up by the crocodile of material energy. But there is one hope, and that is by remembering the transcendental lotus feet of Murari, killer of the Muda demon, Krishna. So Krishna is much more powerful than Maya, because Maya is his shadow potency. It's a shadow potency. So it's like saying that darkness is more powerful than the sun. So we should not spend our time eulogizing so much Maya, but understand at the same time that we better be very determined to take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, at that moment when it's most needed, which is at the time of death, we may not be able to remember Krishna. So we don't know when death is going to come. We don't know. Just like Gajendra didn't know when that crocodile is going to bite, did he? He thought he was going for a nice day out with his girlfriends. He thought that this is the sunny, nice, beautiful mountain, ocean of milk, heavenly body, big, big, king of the elephants, not ordinary elephant, king. So he was, wherever he swaggered with his gait, all the other elephants would look and say, ooh, king has come. So he's a big, big elephant. But he didn't know that there's also a big, big crocodile, king of the crocodiles. So there's always someone better around the corner. So similarly, in the material world, we somehow become enamored or illusioned by our material status. We think, oh, I'm big, big devotee, big, big this, big, big that. And immediately Maya can just swallow us. Snap. It's all over. And what's the nature of the crocodile that pulls you down? Isn't it? Pulls you down. It grabs you. First it has to grab you, so it covers you over. Maya covers over your intelligence. First thing that goes is the intelligence. As soon as the intelligence goes, the mind becomes strong. Intelligence is the only thing that can actually control the mind. So the mind becomes very agitated. When the mind is agitated, the senses become very active. Contemplation. They become very strong. So strong, irresistibly strong. Mind is swept away. In a moment. Then, like this. That's why Prabhupada used the word bloop. When you throw something in the water, bloop. Bloop. As it goes. goes further and further down. So therefore, down, 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 down. So Maya's business is to cover over and to drag down. So, from this lesson we can understand, therefore, the only shelter is to cry out to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So Prabhupada said you should cry out like a child, crying for his mother. You take seriously. Prabhupada said, the problem with you Westerners, you don't take Maya seriously. She's okay. Maya's alright. She's not as bad as they make out. She's been good to me. So we have this affiliation with Maya because we're very much attached to our material bodies. Very much attached to our false egos. Very much attached to Maya, material energy. The reason we're very much attached to Maya is because we have no attachment to Krishna. So therefore, we're not very concerned with getting out of Maya. We're not very concerned. We're more concerned with creating some situation here that we can enjoy in various capacities. So this point is there, that unless one is attached to Krishna, he cannot be released from Maya. You understand? Only because Gajendra was finally attached to Krishna that he was released from the Krapatap. So unless one becomes attached to Krishna, he cannot be released from Maya. Because without attachment to Krishna, one will always become victimized by some material distraction. The living entity has to be attached because he's very, very tiny. He's asrai. Asrai means very insignificant, very tiny. Just like the little molecule of sunshine. It has to be, the little spark of fire has to be attached to the fire for significance. When it's separated from the fire, it becomes insignificant. Such a big, big blazing forest fire. But if one little spark becomes separated, then it becomes diminished. So similarly, the living entity in the material creation, he is separated from Krishna, and therefore he's in a very insignificant, very pathetic situation. So unless he can take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here it says, the example of the elephant in danger who was saved by the Supreme Lord is especially cited there because even if one is an animal, he can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service. Whereas even a demigod cannot approach the Supreme Person unless he is a devotee. So the point is that unless one is a devotee, even if one is a great demigod, there are many examples of great advanced materialists, very great demigods, but they're not devotees. So no matter how much advanced they are, they cannot actually get shelter unless they're devotees. But if one is a devotee, even if he's an animal, he can go back to God. You understand the point? Even if he's an animal, even if he's a worm, a dog, an elephant, any kind, as long as he's a devotee, just like Bharat was a deer, but he became Jadbara, great devotee. So that's why it's so important to become a devotee, because even if you're an animal, you can go back to God. But if you're not a devotee, even if you become a great demigod like Indra or Brahma, then you're in trouble. So we'll just do one more verse because that was short purpose. Tam Sukarat Rugubir Ananya Saranirbi Kritadnya Kumasivata. What grateful soul is there who would not render his loving service to such a great master as the personality of Godhead. The Lord can be easily pleased by spotless devotees who resort exclusively to Him for protection. Through the unrighteous man, though the unrighteous man finds it difficult to propitiate Him. What grateful soul is there who would not render his loving service to such a great master as the personality of Godhead? The Lord can be easily pleased by spotless devotees who resort exclusively to Him for protection. Though the unrighteous man finds it difficult to propitiate Him. Purpose, Shubhava. Every living entity, especially persons in the human race, must feel grateful for the benedictions offered by the grace of the Supreme Lord. Anyone therefore with a simple heart of gratefulness must be Krishna conscious and offer devotional service to the Lord. Those who are actually thieves and rogues do not recognize or acknowledge the benedictions offered to them by the Supreme Lord. And they cannot render Him devotional service. Ungrateful persons are those who do not understand how much benefit they are deriving by the arrangement of the Lord. They enjoy the sunshine and moonshine and they get water free of charge, yet they do not feel grateful, but simply go on enjoying these gifts of the Lord. Therefore they must be called thieves and rogues. So those who are engaged in material sense gratification without recognizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are like thieves and rogues. Thief means someone who takes property belonging to someone else. So we see that this is the unfortunate nature of the living entity in the material world, that he's very ungrateful. So the only thing required is gratefulness. That's all that Krishna requires, is that you be grateful. Therefore we offer our food to Krishna out of gratefulness. We serve Krishna out of gratefulness. We offer everything to Krishna out of gratefulness. So the devotee is very grateful. This is Krishna consciousness, because this is realization. What is the meaning of grateful? Thankful for something great, isn't it? When you're grateful. You're grateful to someone. We, just like if someone gives us something, we're very grateful. And this graciousness or gratefulness is increased the more you realize how great the thing is that you've been given. Isn't it? It's like someone gives you a banana. You don't exactly worship him the rest of your life. Yeah. Huh? Oh, I think you're mad. So therefore, one has to understand how great the Supreme Personality of God is. Otherwise, one cannot be grateful. Unless one is actually Krishna conscious. So the whole message of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to proclaim the glories of the Supreme Personality of God. To understand how great Krishna is. So if you don't read Srimad Bhagavatam, then you'll never know how great Krishna is. So you'll never be grateful. You understand? You'll just be the same appreciation, or even less, than if someone gave you a banana. It didn't mean much to you anyway. You weren't even hungry when you got it. So most people worship God because they're hoping that He'll take away their miseries. So if He's not taking away their miseries, they don't want to worship Him anymore. Say, what good were you? I wanted you to get rid of all my miseries, and you did a pretty lousy job. Because I'm still miserable. So I'm going to hang up my bead bag and off I go. I'm going to go out and have some fun. Because all I'm getting here is misery. And I came here to get rid of my misery. Isn't it? But I'm getting more misery here than I was before. So they leave. Or when they get rid of their misery, they forget that it was God that got rid of it. So then they say, well, what am I doing here anyway? Isn't it? What am I doing here? I've got no more service to be rendered from God to me. His services have been done, so I can now go and enjoy life. The thing which brought me here is gone. So some people come. They want God to be their servant. They want Him to render nice services, to take away their misery, to take away the disturbances of their mind, isn't it? To take away all their bodily inconveniences, to cure them, or to give them some bread, like a baker, or to take away this or that. So people like to engage Krishna in their services. This is the whole motive. Behind every single action, there's a motivation. The living entity can never be free from motivation in the material world. So therefore we come to Krishna with such a big shopping list of things and hoping. That big hope is that He's going to make us happy. Because that's top of our shopping list. I want to be happy. So let's see what Krishna's got in store for me. What nice goodies is He going to produce to make me happy? What nice arrangements is He going to make? But this is not the consciousness of the devotee. The consciousness of the devotee is that he realizes that his business is to give pleasure to Krishna. He becomes embarrassed by any service rendered to him by Krishna. This was exemplified in the Goswamis of Vrindavan. At one time, Rupa Goswami was thinking how he'd like to make a nice piece of Sanatana. And as he was thinking like that, one village girl came, very beautiful village girl, and provided so many nice things. It was customary that the sadhus in Vrindavan, the villagers would bring them food because they were completely dependent on Krishna. So in Vrindavan they would bring them food. So this little girl brought so many nice things, fruits and flour and this and that. So Rupa Goswami was very puzzled. Just I was thinking. So nice, there was cream and milk, so many nice things. So he made a feast for Sanatana. So when Sanatana Goswami came there, he was shocked. You are a renunciate and you can produce so many wonderful things. And Rupa Goswami said, oh no, this little girl came. A young girl. She brought me all these things from the village. But he asked, what was her name? So then when he was describing this young girl, then Sanatana Goswami became aghast. He became, oh, he said, you have taken service from my world. So he became very sad. How could we take service from Radharani? So, this is the competition. A devotee is embarrassed if Krishna should render him any service. So therefore he becomes very, very careful not to allow Krishna to render him any service. So he becomes competition. So therefore he's always busy 24 hours a day rendering Krishna very nice service, in case, just in case Krishna might get some service to him. He's so careful. He's so frightened to take service from Krishna. That is the renunciation of the devotee. Because he's so much absorbed in the samadhi, or meditation of pleasing Krishna, that he cannot allow any thought to enter that might distract from that. This is the real meaning of vairagya, renunciation. Not this false renunciation that someone is thinking, let me give up something in the material world to get something higher. This is simply barter. Business. Just like if you've got £100 and you know that by putting on a horse you're going to get £300. Is that renunciation? That's some gambling, trickery, or business. So you may say that by sacrificing one thing I'm going to get another thing. But a devotee doesn't want anything except the pleasure of Krishna. Therefore he sacrifices everything for the pleasure of Krishna. And becomes very, very astute and cautious that Krishna may, by trickery, render me some service. All sorts of wonders. It says, just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was speaking on Raghunath Das Thakur, the Raghunath Das He says, Raghunath Das, one of the six Goswamis, he had all the opulences, just like these eight mystic opulences of Vaikuntha. He had them in unlimited quantity. Unlimited. So all of these opulences, in unlimited. But he said that he was so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in meditating upon Krishna, that he didn't even acknowledge their existence. He never even acknowledged that those, because Raghunath Das, the Swami, he was very, very powerful. But he was so powerful that he had all the mystic opulences that the yogis and great demigods aspire for in unlimited quantity, but he never even acknowledged it. Such is the renunciation of Raghunath. Why? Because he was always thinking how to please Krishna. So, that is the real power of the devotee. Whereas these other side, these materialists who try to give up something in the material world, they are struggling very hard. And at any moment they can be defeated by the crocodile of Maya. Okay, I've got to finish. Any questions at all? Yeah. That's why there's no need to take any service from him. You understand that everything is dependent on him anyway. So therefore, whatever Krishna wants, that will happen. That is called surrender. Just like Gajendra, finally when he realized this crocodile's finished me, he surrendered to Krishna and said, whatever you want, let that happen. Or Draupadi, when she was being disrobed, and finally she put her hands up in the air. That's why during Kirtan we put our hands up in the air. Surrender. Total surrender to the Holy Name. So yes, the Lord knows that everything is provided by Krishna. Therefore there's no need to even think about anything. Because whatever Krishna wants, that will happen. That's a very advanced level. You may think it's easy to think like that. It's not at all. Because we're so busy always trying to make some adjustment, some arrangement, some mental concoction to further our situation in the material world. But actually that consciousness is very, very rare. Because we actually think we're able to do this. But in actuality, everything has been carried out by Krishna. So, it's true. But what the devotees do is they minimize their dependency. So Raghunath Das Goswami was eating one little piece of butter this size every 2 days. And Prabhupada said, sometimes you forget. Chanting Hare Krishna mantra 23 and a half hours a day. So that's bringing one to the point. You cannot do less to maintain your body than eat a piece of butter every 2 days. So you can minimize. Of course, that's a very advanced level. But not that you chase after everything in the world and then say, oh yeah, well it's all right because Krishna's providing anyway. So I'm very appreciative. Thank you, Krishna. So, it's true, Krishna is providing, but the devotee is more concerned with providing some service to Krishna. Therefore one can test his advancement how much he gives up eating and sleeping. I would say that is a good thermometer, if you want to have a thermometer. How much eating and sleeping is reduced, and how much service is increased. Then you get an idea how much you're actually engaged in trying to satisfy the senses of Krishna. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuranam Ki Jai.